Okay, we're on the air, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Marlene Vick is standing in for Trinise, who's on vacation, so could you call a roll?
Governor Pat Quinn, Secretary Schneider, Chair Wolf,
here.
Director Bates, Director Jarcy,
here.
Director Gonzalez,
here.
Director Peterson,
here.
Director Reddick,
here.
Director Sweeney,
here.
Director Towns,
here.
Director Weissman,
here.
Chair, we have a floor.
Thank you very much. I have not received any notification that anyone wants to speak during the public comment period. Anybody want to speak during the public comment period? Okay, thank you. could I hear a motion for approval of the minutes for the regular board meeting and the executive session from the July 26th?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay,
Chair, I abstain.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I forgot to call for abstentions. Director Gonzalez abstained. Thank you. So what we'll do is we'll have reports from the committee chairs next, and incorporated in that will be the quarterly financial update. So we start with the Finance Administration Committee with Director Peterson.
Sure. The Finance Administration Operations Committee met on August 15th. Finance presented unaudited quarterly financial results for the second quarter. Overall, total revenue is exceeding budget, while evasion recovery, maintenance and operations expenses, debt service transfers, and the capital program are below budgeted amounts. Mike Kelsch is going to give a short presentation after all the committee reports are done. Mike also presented to the committee, and we approved and placed in the consent agenda two pools of underwriters selected through an RFP issued on May 2012. The pool of senior managing underwriters and remarketing agents is comprised of 14 firms. The co-manager pool is comprised of 17 firms. 21%, three firms of the senior manager pools are MBE firms, and 29%, five of the co-manager firms are MBE or WBE firms. The procurement department only had one item. When the committee approved it, it was a contract renewal for fast setting cement. I think John's on the pound this week. Who's in for John?
Yep, Sharon Ferguson.
Sharon's in. And engineering department only had three items committee approved and placed on the consent agenda. There were three contracts, were for construction awards totaling about $7.7 million. Each contractor committed to meeting the diversity goals on the contracts. Two of the contracts represented unbundled work. So nice job over there in engineering. Legal department presented seven items that the committee approved to be placed on the consent agenda. Item one is an intergovernmental agreement with IDOT related to construction and reconstruction widening work at Route 173 up at the state line and I-94, the Wisconsin state line. Item two is an IGA with CMS for receipt of one electric vehicle for Federal American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Tollway will now use in its operating fleet an electric vehicle. Item number three was IGA with IDOT to formalize payment due to Tollway under two contracts. Item four was an IGA with the University of Illinois Chicago, UIC, for a 10-year office lease of 22,000 square feet to house our customer service call center. I understand Shannon's going to give a presentation later on that. Okay. Item number five, IGA with Will County and the Village of Woodridge to extend for 3 years completion of engineering design work for a public bikeway at no cost to the tollway. Item six was real estate parcels identification of the 294-57 project. And finally, item seven was land acquisition final settlement on a longstanding condemnation case with DeKalb County.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Good meeting. Good report. Thank you. Strategic planning, Director
Weiss. Yes, thank you. We held a meeting August 15th. We dealt with the looking at a fresh look at the interchange policy to try to update that and kind of in accordance and fitting with the context of the current economic situation nationally, the funding sources that we have typically seen, etc., and also some of the issues that local governments face in coming up with their share. What we wanted to make sure that we maintain was the idea and the actuality of participation, 50% type of participation by the local governments seeking either a new interchange or a completion of an existing half interchange. And in the process, we came up with some ideas that, again, I think are sensitive to the current context in financing, et cetera, and trying to make sure that we give due weight to a number of different factors when we determine our level of our willingness to cooperate and participate with local communities wishing to do these improvements. So I think you all received a copy of some of that information. I don't think any of it's earth-shaking. I think it's just mainly commonsensical. I hope it is, at least. And if anybody has any questions on that at this point, I'd be happy to answer them. If not, I'd move on to
Could you just indicate how to our viewing public, if anybody wants to see the proposal?
I apologize. I should have mentioned that. The draft policy is posted on the Tollway website for public comment, has been for some time, and that period will continue through September 4th. So we're seeking input and comment from the public. And once once that comment period is closed, we'll distribute the comments widely so that people can see the result. So thank you for inviting me. Relative to Illinois Route 53/120, we had a more in-depth presentation from staff at our recent strategic planning committee meeting. Talked about cost estimates, potential funding scenarios, as well as next steps. And I think some of the key next steps include the fact that Lake County and CMAP will be leading an effort to develop a corridor-wide land use plan, kind of comprehensive land use plan, to ensure that the future developments are compatible with the proposed roadway. Tollway, as I said, will be a participating agency and likely will contribute funds to the effort, and the funding will come to the board for consideration in the near future in the form of an IGA. And as I think you all recall, while we didn't have in the capital plan a large sum budgeted for hard costs relative to 53-120, but there are dollars in there for more or less soft costs related to this project. The staff was given direction to proceed with more detailed design concept and an engineering environmental analysis for a couple of reasons. One was to really get closer to being able to come up with a defined project cost, as well as to be able to predict revenues. We'll also be doing additional survey work, trying to assess kind of the willingness to pay question. I think the uniqueness of this project in that it's described as a 45 mile an hour route, etc., and that tolling would be a large component of the revenue to pay for this project, that we have to see how the interplay between those two items or factors to see, you know, how those might work out. You know, what the willingness and the likelihood that folks will use it, to what extent, I guess. We'll have a future professional services bulletin out that will include the item to begin the additional studies and survey work. And as I said, the funding for the project will come from the Move Illinois program, which did allocate $100 million for potential system expansion projects. Does anybody have any questions on it? If not, concludes my report.
Thank you. And customer service, you're meeting?
We did. We were scheduled to meet after the board meeting last month. Due to the length of the board meeting, we didn't meet. Just kind of as a status of things that we're working on. One of the things that we're taking a look at is the current structure, collection structure, and enforcement structure of our policy. And there's been discussion, and the board's given direction to, or the committee's given direction to kind of take a look at a hybrid approach to that. One that's a little more customer focused, a bit less punitive, yet fair to the existing customers and users, so that we are proceeding forward with enforcement. One of the things that was identified over the last year when we were doing focus groups was that our customers miss the feedback transponders. And we are taking a look at the use and re-implementation of feedback transponders and kind of the practicality of how we do that and dealing with the costs associated with that and reintroducing that to our system. We're also putting online
a lot going on. 1 year ago today was the vote on the toll increase. It felt like a slightly different level of meeting than our meeting today, but a lot has been accomplished in the year, so I also want to congratulate the directors and the staff on that. There's still an awful lot to do, but I think we should just pause and remember that it's only been a year and we've got an awful lot done, and people have been under a lot of stress on a lot of different levels, and so I thank everybody and hope that everybody, if they haven't had a vacation in the last year, will make a point of getting a vacation sometime in the next couple of months so that we're able to continue on the level of energy that we've got. And then also I just wanted to mention that a lot of what the substantive work that's gone on in the committees will be approved during our regular board meeting today, but we also have very heavy executive session agenda today. We have a number of items on it. So again, the people who are watching on the computer and the audience that's here won't see a lot of that, although most of it will come back on a board agenda at some later time. But I just wanted people to understand that there are things also that the directors will be taking up from the staff in the executive session. So I don't have anything else. So let's turn it over to Christy.
Great, thank you. So are we going to, I think, first run through maybe a kind of synopsis of the quarterly financial report that Mike gave at the committee meeting, but just so all the directors, I know you've all received a copy, but just so that you all have a chance to see the presentation, I think we can move through fairly quickly. And of course, if you have any questions, you know, feel free to interrupt the presentation. I know that there were many questions asked at the Finance Committee last week. So, Mike? In your usual flamboyant style.
Okay.
Drum roll.
All right. I'll try to keep it down today. Good morning.
Good morning.
As Christy mentioned, we did, and Director Peterson, we did have an opportunity to discuss the second quarter unaudited financial results last week and had some good questions. Just a quick reminder, this is what the budget looked like in kind of a summary form at the start of the year, $973 million projected total revenue, allocated $268 million to operating costs. We were going to increase the operating reserve by $10 million, $255 million for debt service, and then there would be $440 million that we could spend on our capital program or that we could allocate to our capital funds for future use. The highlights of the second quarter really are the traffic and revenue related to toll collection continue to be slightly above estimate for the year. However, some accounting changes that came out of some discussions with our new auditor are going to impact our evasion recovery. And we can talk a little bit more about this as we go through. An evasion recovery is, of course, our violation enforcement effort, our effort to collect on those that don't pay at the point of the transaction. Maintenance and operating expenses were below budget again in the second quarter. That's just both quarters have been below the operating budget for the year. And capital program expenditures were $29 million below budget for the second quarter. And I think, as we've discussed before, much of that is related to some of the procurement issues and challenges that we face this year. There have been some bid savings and some modest changes to scope of some of the projects, but most of this really does relate to procurement-related challenges. As I mentioned earlier, the toll revenue and evasion recovery, toll revenues are up from budget slightly, but evasion recovery has impacted our toll revenue and evasion recovery line. And in the second quarter, the tollway took a $5.8 million adjustment on evasion recovery, which reflects a change in accounting treatment for how we treat evasion recovery. Prior, under our previous two auditors, the appropriate treatment that they suggested and that we had been following for evasion recovery for fines was to book the revenue when the fine or the notice was issued, and then to provide an allowance for doubtful accounts or bad debt that would offset a portion of that. Our new auditors this year said that they prefer to see, and they believe that the appropriate accounting treatment would be not to book any revenue or recognize any revenue associated with those fines until we actually collect the revenue. So at the end of 2011, we had a total of $11.6 million of receivables net of bad debt in evasion recovery. What we're doing this year then, rather than change the 2011 financials, is to reverse that $11.6 million out of 2012. So what we've done is we've taken half of that adjustment in the second quarter, and we will take the remainder of that adjustment in the third and the fourth quarter. So bottom line is, if it were not for that accounting treatment change, revenues would be very close to estimated in total for the second quarter, and actually would be slightly ahead for the year.
And just to make sure, because it took a while for me to get this right, the same amount of money is going to be coming in as just a question of when we put it on the books.
That's correct. I mean, the amount that we're actually collecting in cash is very close to what we had anticipated at the start of the year. Okay, on the operating expenditures, we mentioned $4 million below budget. This is primarily in payroll and related costs, and that's vacancies. We have more vacant positions throughout the year on average than we had anticipated at the start of the year. A couple of other areas of note, contractual services are down. This is really mostly in the area of business systems, less customer service costs at our call center. I think we had actually planned for an increase in calls, an increase in customer service costs because of the change in the toll rate. That increase hasn't been as great as we had anticipated. We also had some favorable contract pricing changes on our image review, the image review that we do on plates before we consider whether to pursue them as a violation. Additionally, materials and operating supplies, we had a nice mild spring, and as a result of that, we haven't had to invest as much in restocking those materials and winter supply, those winter materials and supplies. And then finally, equipment, office rental, and maintenance. Again, this is an area primarily in our electronic toll collection area, where some of the maintenance and some of the investment that we had anticipated making. We're not investing as much, we're not spending as much in that area as we look forward to possibly replacing that system. On the capital program side, we've broken this out by corridor. It's probably easier to see on your laptop than it is up here. But $29 million less than budgeted for the program. For the second quarter, I would like to note that we anticipate that by the end of the year that there's as much as $84 million in reduced spending related to scheduling changes. And again, most of that is due to the due to the procurement challenges that we've been facing this year. And so a little a slower start maybe to the program than we had anticipated, but it's getting up to speed.
We are building in those time frames for future years of the program now that we've had this year of experience. So, hopefully we'll be able to manage that going forward.
A little bit of detail on transactions and revenue. Passenger vehicle transactions were forecasted to decline 5.9% for this year. So far, transactions have declined 2.6%. Commercial vehicles, we had expected an increase of 2.2. It's increased 5.2. So in both commercial and passenger vehicle, favorable trends. And on the revenue side, you can see total revenue is projected to increase 41% for the year, and it's increased about 44% through June. We did see a little bit of moderation of that trend in July and August, but we're still ahead of the pace that we need to achieve for the year. And finally, just wanted to update you on the fund balances. The maintenance and operations accounts have increased by $9 million. You can see that we're setting aside that $10 million in the operating reserve. That's increased $5 million, and we expect to increase that another $5 million by the end of the fiscal year. And the renewal and replacement account, improvement accounts have increased, not surprising, as that kind of reflects our slower start to the program than what we had planned at the start of the year.
So this fund balance summary was something that was requested by the Finance Committee, I think, during the last quarterly financial review. So that is something new that some of you may not be used to seeing in these reports, but it was something, I think, that you said was that was mentioned that you were interested in seeing in the presentation.
Yes, yeah. Well,
so any questions?
Very helpful.
I was going to call an audible here just to get some context. At some point in the not-so-distant future, I assume we're going to go into the market to sell bonds. Can you talk a little bit about how you think this report will, if at all, affect how the bonds will be sold? I know it's hard to...
Right. I think with respect to a credit analysis standpoint, I think the positive aspects of it are that traffic has not been as impacted by the toll rate change than what the forecast had predicted. I think that the evasion recovery issue is something that we will be able to explain as a one-time event. I think there will be some discussion or concern about going forward with the program, how we might be able to get through these procurement challenges to make sure that we can keep on the schedule that we're seeking to stay on. And the other way that this will impact is that obviously I think it indicates that the amount of funding that we will need from bond proceeds will be less early on. So the timing of the issues may be delayed somewhat as a result of the results so far. In fact, we know they already have been delayed. So.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that we all have a sense of how, I mean, this is important for us as board members to understand that we're living within our budget and that we projected well in terms of our revenue, but it does have a broader implication as we go into the market to come up with the revenue to continue with the program. And this is, again, you can't speculate on what the market will think, but it looks as if it's as strong as we would have hoped it would have been to do this. So thank you to everybody who both did the projections and also lived within their means and practiced.
Good. Thank you. Thanks, Mike. The UIC call center transition, we have also a couple quick slides and overview on this. I wanted to let all the directors know where we stand. Last week, for those of you who were at the Finance Committee, you heard that we recommended to move forward with an IGA with the University of Illinois Chicago to house our call center on its campus. Sean is going to provide an overview of how we plan to transition our operations to that site next year, but I want to thank her and her team for her hard work. It has been, I won't say a Herculean effort, but it has been some significant work to get to this point. As you may recall, our call center operations are currently based in Lisle. It's a market rate lease. We really, in this, as the lease came up for renewal, as the lease came to an end, it's coming to an end at the end of this year, we started to look for public space or additional surplus space in government entities that we could partner with to house our call center operations. As one part of our overall effort to transition some of these customer service functions to what we call state use contracts. So these are typically not-for-profit groups that do provide special services for state governments to whatever services they may typically outsource to maybe for-profit vendors, and they often work with people with disabilities or veterans or people trying to re-enter the workforce. So we really, I think, are trying to make an effort on these operations to move and transition to some of these state-use vendor relationships. Shauna will talk a little bit about some of the other partnerships that we have in place, but having this call center space secured is kind of the first step in being able to make a transition of our call center services as well, which will be very exciting. So it's a downtown location near public transit with a lot of other facility access that we're going to have. It's a 10-year lease for us that lends to the tollway some stability at some pretty good rates. So thanks, Shauna. And if you want to go through some of your overview, if there are any questions, of course, we'll take those as they come.
Good morning. We are very excited about this partnership. It has been a journey, and we think we have found a really ideal situation. I don't have a clicker, so maybe Mike,
I
or do it. I?
Oh! Mike, trying to sabotage you.
Thank you. But I did want to offer everybody some context and just some basic parameters for this relationship, and I do encourage you to let me know if you have questions.
Shauna, can you flip one of the mics toward the way you're standing just a little bit?
Sure. Does that help?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank
you. I can also move myself. Sorry. I know that we've talked a little bit about this before, but just as a reminder, our original customer service contract, and customer service has to do with how our IPAS customers and how people who receive violations from us interact with us, who they call, who processes their payments when it comes in, et cetera. That original customer service contract was all with one entity, TransCore. And they've been a great partner for us, but it's not the way that we ideally wanted to go in the future. We wanted to, as Christy spoke to, work more with government organizations for space and more with state use organizations for services. And the idea was to break apart this very large monolithic contract into pieces that we could hand over to the state use organizations to the extent that we could find people who could meet our service needs. So there are four aspects to that original big contract, and three of them have already been broken out and are with state use programs today. Image review is with Bridgeway Training Services. This is the human component of looking at the camera images when people don't pay tolls, and we have to take a picture of their license plate and find out who they are. So that is an organization currently looking at all of those images and making sure that the right numbers get into the system. Transponder fulfillment is with Ada McKinley. That's on the south side of Chicago, and they're the ones who actually mail out the transponders when people order new ones or replacement ones. By mail, of course. You can go to Jewel also as well, but a lot of people do it by mail, enough that we have to have an actual contract to process that. Print and mail services. So every day we send out lots of correspondence, lots of violation notices, and lots of other pieces of correspondence. And we can't print and mail them all just here from our facility. We have to have a print and mail vendor that we could send a file to, and then they print all those out and get them in the mail. And that's with Printer's Mark. So what's left of that original contract is the call center.
The Ada F. McKinley is developmentally disabled people, basically.
Primarily.
And the image review Bridgeway is people.
It's a mix of disabilities and veterans.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I apologize, what were the location of those two entities?
Bridgeway is in Galesburg. Ada McKinley is
but
on the
Bridgeway also, there's a it's and Galesburg and Rockford. Rockford. There's
Thank
a
you.
Joint.
They actually split their services between Galesburg and Rockford. And Ada McKinley's on the south side. And Printer's Mark.
In Chicago on the south side.
In
Chicago
on the south side.
In Chicago
on the south side, yes.
Gotcha.
And Printer's Mark is in the southwest, and I will have to get back to you on the exact locality. So we are, now we're at the point where we have to deal with the call center itself, and we've been working every angle we can to get the best situation for us and the best situation for the state.